trust, all you say, and all that you give, and all that you deal, and all that you buy, beg, borrow, or steal, and all you create, and all you destroy, and all that you do, and all that you say.
You're listening to WMEC FM 90.5. It is 10 p.m. and 10 p.m. on a Thursday always means the same thing every single time without fail. You are listening to Moral Hazard. Moral Hazard on WMEC FM 90.5. It's the winter. It's the winter. Today is January 8th, 2026, and since it's the winter, it means we don't do real news here, all right? But we'll do our best. I am your host, Stephen Fung of Moral Hazard, and I'm joined by former co-host, now interim co-host, Emma Newkirk. Say hi.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
You already did. My name's Emma Newkirk. I know I have several fans already from my full season on air.
Yeah, well, you know.
We're not going to talk about how the show really picked up after I left.
Yeah, the show, you know, things really started to go into full swing once Emma was gone, but now she's back.
Okay. How many listeners can we lose over winter break?
And none.
None?
None, because there are none to begin with.
Hey, you don't know that.
I said it before, said it again. In my mind, at least, the only listeners that Moral Hazard has are people who might have left their radio on. You know, they're driving on the roads. They're driving down Baltimore Avenue. They had it on 90.5. They were listening to the high school up north.
Uh-huh.
And then they got down here and, you know, we took over that frequency.
Yeah.
And
how do you imagine they feel having transitioned from the high school to this talk show?
I imagine this is what growing up, this is like a Bildungs Roman type story,
uh-huh.
You know, where they go from hearing the infantile, childish, stupid radio up north on the 90.5 frequency, and then they come down here and they get something very mature. They get something that shows a development. You know, there was that hero's journey over there.
Of course,
you know?
And the old man driving the car sheds a single tear.
Sheds a single tear, and then he gets down to Hyattsville, and then it changes to, like, classical music or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what's beautiful about life, you know, is that,
uh-huh.
is that there's always change, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, here at Moral Hazard, we're trying to syndicate the entirety of 90.5 across the United States, so it just plays reruns.
Plays
it plays reruns. We're like Friends, you know?
Oh.
It's like just one channel that constantly plays reruns of old news episodes on WMUC.
See, that's rough.
Yeah. You know, I think it's fine.
Mm.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's your show.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's pretty cool.
Think what you want. It's a free country.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, welcome to Moral Hazard. I'm your host, Stephen Fung, joined by co-host Emma Newkirk. Soon to be gone co-host Emma Newkirk.
Okay.
We're getting rid of you.
I know!
We have cause to fire. We have cause to cancel your contract.
Uh-huh.
Put you out on the street. The cause?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, low ratings.
Low ratings?
Low ratings.
You put me on in the least, like, popular semester.
We got one review from anonymous user. They just had the username SCF019. And
that's your...
This person just said that they liked the other... They liked the guy more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't put the girl on. Put a girl on. Don't put a girl. No. You may... Dear listener, you may wonder yourself, what is Moral Hazard? Well, I'll tell you right now, and I'm going to tell you once and never again for the rest of this episode. And then next week, I won't be here. But the week after that, I'll tell you it again, Moral Hazard is your go-to hour of business news commentary. It's the light in your darkness. It's something, something, something. And we do business news here.
Do we?
We talk about what happens in the world. Sometimes it's business, sometimes it's economics, sometimes it's whatever I feel like.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You don't pay my paycheck.
No one does.
Nope. I'll tell you who pays my paycheck.
Okay.
The Cato Institute.
All right? Really?
They pay it. They pay it.
How much do you get paid?
$7.
Whoa.
Per episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, an hour.
An hour. What about prep time?
It doesn't include prep time. The assumption was that I wouldn't do prep time.
Oh, okay.
Which is why this really worked out for me. Because I can't breach contract by coming on air without having an episode.
Uh-huh.
But if I come on with a good episode, then I really earned that
$7. Yeah.
And guess what I'm going to do with this $7? Because it's really not like a W. It's not like a W-2 or anything like that. Like, I don't have any income forms, really. And it's like, it's not direct deposit. They just, like, Zelle me at the...
They Zelle you $7.
Yeah.
Do you get paid weekly or biweekly?
No, I get paid as soon as the episode ends.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I just have my handler at the Cato Institute. I've got a list of topics to get through each episode. Uh-huh. And if I get through that at the end of the hour, they just, you know, they hand me the $7. Or, well, they Zelle me the
$7. So you rarely get paid, is what I'm hearing.
I've gotten paid maybe 3 times in the past... at least in the fall semester, I got paid like, carry the 2, 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can almost retire.
Well, you know, $21 is a lot, you know, in this economy.
In this economy, sure.
It's enough to get you like one burger at Shake Shack and maybe a fry.
Or you could do the new Green Turtle Triple Dipper.
I can do the Green Turtle Triple Dipper.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that though.
Why?
Because I don't shill for other companies, okay? The only food that I eat is Moral Hazard steaks.
Moral Hazard steaks.
And that's, dear listeners, there's one thing I will never do, and that is sell out. There are 2 things I'll never do. I will never sell out, and I will never be a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. Uh-huh. And all that is to say that if you like Moral Hazard and you want to continue support it, please buy $70 worth of Moral Hazard steaks. It's on moralhazardsteaks.com. STEAKS, in case none of you did the spelling bee.
Uh-huh.
Because we're talking about prime cuts.
Dear listener, I want it to be very clear that he does not have a farm anywhere, and I don't know what kind of steak this is.
This is USDA graded.
Graded what? Is it beef?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, it's beef, but it's, to be fair, and I want to give full information to all my listeners, the USDA's grading system goes in tiers, right? There's like dog food, like there's animal food type stuff, and then there's like fit for human consumption, and then there's like prime or whatever. We're on that dog food layer.
Okay.
But these steaks are very good. I cannot say that they are very good for you, but if you were perhaps a dog or for a chance a cat, you would like these steaks. So buy 70 of them. That'll get you maybe like 1 tomahawk.
That's it?
It does not come pre-cooked.
Well, I didn't think it would.
Yeah, we had to save money. What we do here is vertical farming at Moral Hazard Farms.
And where you stack the cows?
We're stacking the cows. It's a technology for those of you who don't know, vertical farming has been very popular since about 2019. There was a very popular company called Bowery Farms. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they got hundreds of million dollars of investment, and they decided to buy up warehouses in the most expensive places, stack it with vertical farming rigs. So they would have like the light set up and the misting, the spraying, the nutrients and all that.
Uh-huh.
And what they decided to grow in these very expensive warehouses with, you know, these very inefficient rigs, because, you know, it's a warehouse, right? There's no sunlight. You have to pay for the energy. You have to pay for the lights. What they decided to do with all these hundreds of million dollars was grow lettuce.
And that's beautiful. Lettuce is the number
one. Well, they grew like lettuce, spinach, whatever. I'm sure you've seen Bowery Farms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had one in Baltimore.
Yeah, when you showed me a Reddit post like yesterday.
No. In the grocery store, you've definitely seen Bowery Farms. Yeah, I think they had a deal with Whole Foods. But I know I had seen them multiple times in the grocery store before foreshadowing the shutdown in 2024 because they ran out of money. Unfortunately, having an indoor farm, you know, miraculously, they didn't shut down because they were just burning money, like growing lettuce, you know.
Yeah.
But they had to shut down because their crops got sick during 2020. Not with COVID, though. It was just coincidentally, the same time that everyone else was getting sick with COVID, their crops got hit with a disease that wiped out their farms and they couldn't control it.
Oh.
And it cost them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which you'd think wouldn't be a problem with such a high turnover crop like lettuce.
It really doesn't take that long.
Because
to
you're
grow.
Just churning lettuce. Yeah. I don't understand how it wiped out your entire farm and set you back that far. Maybe they didn't hire the right people. They didn't account for, you know, crop disease in their heads when they're everyone's gonna be wearing suits, you know?
Uh-huh.
Hazmat, like protective suits and whatever. Yeah. Gloves and all that. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out.
That sucks.
But you know, vertical farming is still there's still hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's still hope. Dyson, the vacuum company.
Really?
They have Dyson Farms has this giant it's a hybrid vertical farm structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can look it up. They are growing strawberries in it, which is fascinating because previously these vertical farming rigs were just doing greens.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing fruit, you need pollinators and all that.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
So what they have is it's like a greenhouse. So it's walls. They have opaque walls,
okay. But
a glass roof. So it's like a semi-greenhouse.
That's good.
And they have, instead of just vertical farming towers what Bowery and other companies do, they had a rotating rig that would make sure that the plants got airflow because it was rotating, and also that they would get, you know, adequate sunlight through the rotation.
I see.
Because it's only the light coming down.
Yeah, so like the plants on the bottom aren't going to get anything.
Yeah. And they had, they put in pollinators. They put in pollinators and other bugs to take care of the area. So unlike Bowery that was trying to do some Star Trek farming rig, Dyson Farms really took a measured approach when trying to make this happen. And they took from both greenhouses and the vertical farming structures, and it seems to work.
Yeah, not to brag, but I thought of the same innovations as Dyson a year and a half ago.
You thought about it?
Yeah.
Did you write it down?
It's in my Stardew save.
Stardew Valley?
Yep.
What part of it did you think about? No. What part of
it? No, the whole Dyson rig.
The whole not just crop rotation.
It's all in my Stardew Valley save.
Okay, because all I know about your Stardew Valley save is that you discovered crop rotation. And you're like, wow, I'm a genius.
And I was.
I mean,
no, I've got the whole warehouse with the glass roof.
You wouldn't be the first.
I've got the pollinators.
You wouldn't be the first enterprising American to think you invented crop rotation, though.
I did.
Because I had heard about, I think it was an academic paper where they essentially rediscovered crop rotation like it hadn't existed for years.
Yeah.
It was very funny. I think it was one of those examples of academics writing papers and just being clueless about discoveries they've made.
Of course.
That have literally existed for a long time just because they added a different name to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one.
But my thing's different because I did actually find that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think one was the quadratic formula.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I forget who said that or what she called it.
Well, she named it after herself.
Oh, okay.
I can't find it. It maybe wasn't the quadratic formula.
I thought it was. Pythagorean theorem?
I don't know. Whatever.
It was something basic.
Yeah, it was something really dumb, and she named it after herself. And the funniest thing is that she got cited by other academics.
That's nuts.
Who didn't know what it was. And I wish I just knew what it was. Academic paper that...
I thought she was like a psych student, right? She wasn't math.
Yeah. Oh, it was integration. It was integration. They thought they discovered the trapezoidal rule.
I know it was something.
Yeah, and it was a medical paper.
Oh.
Yeah. And what was the get 75 citations. It was what they call it, Tye's method. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jeez.
Very funny.
It is. The area under the curve. That's also something I would do.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
I would accidentally think I found something.
I didn't. I wouldn't.
I know I would.
Like, I can't even get that mad because I wouldn't expect, you know, everyone in the medical field to have to, like, take that much math.
She definitely took calculus.
I think that's, like, a Calc 2 thing. Trapezoidal rule? That might be Calc 2.
We touched on it in Calc 1.
Maybe. Well, I mean, it was a different time as well.
That's true.
When they got there. Yeah.
That's true.
But, yeah, so you were discovering crop rotation.
Yeah.
What was I even talking about before that?
Not a clue.
Oh, yes. We're vertically farming cows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the Dyson rig. So we've got cows, like, in their pens.
Uh-huh.
And they rotate. And if you get to the top of the rotation, then you get access to the food trough. But then it keeps going.
It's like Gordon Ramsay's TV show.
How is that Gordon Ramsay's TV show?
It's a three-tiered kitchen. And the food is, like, only on the top. But there are different things you need on each tier, so the players have to keep rotating which tier they're on in order to get all the things they need.
Oh, that's like the best-selling Steam game, Overcooked.
It is like the best-selling Steam game, Overcooked.
Yeah, which we're really good at. We're really good at that one.
Steven, dude,
we're so good at that
every
one.
Game ends in me crying a little bit.
Yeah, well, look, you can't handle the heat, get out of my kitchen. All right. I'm the Gordon Ramsay of Overcooked.
We open every game and you go, okay, you are on dishes and plating and that's it.
Yeah, because you can't move diagonally. It's WASD, you can't move diagonally.
I never learned how to, I don't play games on PC. I just don't.
All right, I'll give you a hint. All right, if you want to move, like.
I know, you just hit the W and D at the same time or the W and A at the same time.
Or
the S and D
and
S and
S. Yeah.
I know how to do it.
It's just not clocking to you.
It's not clocking.
It's
to
not
me.
Clocking to you. Well, you know, vertical farming is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, vertical farming is one very dumb thing that tech guys thought they had. They thought they could just, you know, nail mm-hmm. on that instant. Unfortunately, crop science is a very complex field.
Of course.
I mean, it just kind of speaks to the abilities of people in Silicon Valley to understand things that they're living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like very rarely are figures in Silicon Valley able to connect with things that have a pulse or like any sort of living status. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about them.
They can't keep them alive. Can't keep the plants alive. Dyson's doing well though, but Dyson is a fascinating company that somehow can just do everything.
Yeah. Because we were talking about the Dyson Airwrap the other week.
Yeah, they do Airwrap. Well, I mean, most of their stuff involves air. Yeah, we had to dump the audio for a second because somebody got a little too passionate about Dyson.
I'm sorry.
Someone got a little too passionate about Dyson Farms.
I'm sorry.
But look, we've got real news going on today. Not just my moral hazard stakes, not just vertical farming. Because, you know, would you know it, 2026 is going to be the year of the news, it seems. To kick off the new year,
mm-hmm.
we kidnapped a president.
And isn't that a wonderful way to kick off the new year?
I just wish it happened before last week's episode. Now I'm talking about it. It's old news. I miss when I could get on air. I feel like Thursdays have to be the worst times. I feel like I've never gotten on air and there has been news on my plate that had fresh
first
news.
First semester when you had a Monday night slot.
Yeah.
You had fresh news every time.
Yeah. No, I didn't have them.
I
it was a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday slot.
It was Monday.
It was the first semester that I did it. It was a Wednesday. I don't think I've had a Monday.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but I've had Wednesdays, and that was when it was on the one time that I remember having some really cool news was when that helicopter crashed live on air.
Yes,
that was crazy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the only, like, fresh news I've ever gotten, like, in recent memory since then is just, you know, Fed data releases, and it just happens to release on the day of Moral Hazard.
Yeah.
That's really it. Or, like, the night, or, like, the day before, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, jobs numbers. Speaking of Fed data, jobs numbers are coming out tomorrow. That didn't come out today. It's not on my plate right now, but the world is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be very important for looking at the health of our economy, looking at if the Fed will cut rates again. It looks like that's not even that much of the business news community's concern right now is jobs numbers. But, I mean, it still remains important to investors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, everyone's really concerned about what we're doing on the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, we teased it, but Nicolas Maduro,
mm-hmm.
I think is how you pronounce it,
uh-huh.
has been captured. We'll say captured. Kidnapped. Is a little too polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
A little too polarized. A little too partisan language for me.
Yeah.
All right? Because, you know, we're an apolitical. This is an apolitical
okay.
radio show. All right.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Maduro was captured from Caracas. I believe it was last Friday night or into Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And he is currently in New York on drug charges as well as
gun charges.
A
right?
gun charge, yes,
yeah.
Which is like I can like visualize the drug charges, right? I mean, the accusation is that he had an active role in peddling the sale of fentanyl, cocaine, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was something.
Drugs to the United States is what they're contesting, right? And like, you know, summary judgment, I see that going in their favor, right?
Yeah.
If we gave them the benefit of the doubt, like the benefit of the facts on every single one of these, then, you know, I could see that being a legitimate charge.
Mm-hmm.
However, the gun charge does not make any sense. That's got to be thrown out on summary judgment. Because in what world can you be held to task for a gun charge in a different country? Like a gun charge in the United States for owning and using a gun in a different country.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
That's not your jurisdiction. That doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely no sense.
If that goes through, that will be insane. But I will have you know that there is precedent for what Maduro is facing right now. Oh, Jesus. What's the sound on this? So in 1989, the United States actually captured another Latin American leader.
Mm-hmm.
This one was Manuel Noriega. He was the president of Panama. And so the U.S. invaded his country and they captured him. The courts sided with prosecutors. Because the United States did not recognize Noriega as the president of Panama.
Mm.
And therefore, he didn't have the protections that like could be that would normally be granted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a similar case is going on here. The United States, you know, it does not like Maduro. And because of that, they can just not recognize him as the leader of the country.
Of course.
Which is fine, because I like... It's such a strange position to take from an appeals court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that if you could just like, we actually don't recognize him as a leader, so we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
That's like you can capture anyone then.
You could go up, you could say,
you know, who's the Prime Minister of Canada right now? It's not Trudeau.
No, he's gotta be gone now.
Oh, Mark Carney. You could say Mark Carney isn't the legitimate leader of Canada. Justin Trudeau is. And you capture and kidnap Mark Carney and you know, you give him capital punishment. And then the courts are like, oh, well, he's not according to the United States, he's not the real leader.
That is so strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that might have been a misstep. But I mean, it was just a federal appeals court. It wasn't Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, Nicolas Maduro is going to do. Oh, look at that little court drawing. That's cute. He looks so sad.
He does look very sad.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't understand what's going on. He's got the headphones.
Just confused.
So we're looking at the courtroom sketch for Nicolas Maduro in Manhattan. And he's got his little translator headphones on because obviously he doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
But he's 6'3". You know, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. I'm surprised they captured him.
Really?
Yeah, I figured he would have, like, started throwing federal agents against the wall.
How short do you think most federal agents are?
I assume they're not that tall.
Yeah.
I mean,
but still, like, 6'3", I gotta imagine they have a good many that are 6 foot or more.
Yeah, but I, in just my mind, like, Nicolas Maduro, he's going Hulk mode, and he's picking up federal agents and throwing them through walls and stuff like Incredibles.
I think you have a skewed...
Like, he's Mr. Incredible. He's throwing them around.
I think you have a skewed image of what a 6'3 man is capable of.
Why? 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 Because
short.
I'm 5'8"?
Because 5'8 is generous.
Because I'm 5'6"? Because I'm 5'5 on a good day? Is that what you're saying? You're saying that I can't imagine what being 6'3 is like because I'm 5'5"? How dare you?
I mean, maybe when, like, your dad held you on his shoulders when you were a kid.
Why don't you pick on someone your own size?
I am.
Buddy. No.
I am.
No. You're a bit bigger. You're a bit bigger.
All
right. You've got about twice the volume.
All right. Enough of this. I'm going to cancel you.
I don't know. Look, you may also be 5'5", but, you know, when we talk circumference...
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. At least they sell my pant size in the store.
Yeah, they... that's the one thing. Look, I will... We're losing the kayfabe here for a second, all right?
The key fob?
The key fob here. All right. You know what grinds my gears? I go into Banana Republic. I go into J. Crew. Actually, J. Crew's like the one store where I can reliably find pants in somewhat my size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a size 28 waist, all right? 28-inch waist, all right?
He's so petite.
I go into J. Crew. J. Crew only goes down to, like, 29, all right? I go into Banana Republic. They don't even go to 30.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. I can't get pants in my size. If anyone knows where I can get cute pants that are 28 by, say, 30.
I think you might have to go to the kids section.
I don't have to go to the kids section.
That's what the Nordstrom lady said.
I will never forgive Nordstrom for doing that to me. I went into Nordstrom. I wanted a belt for my little 28 waist, and she sent me to the kids section. I could not. I was too ashamed.
You just left the store.
I spent
you
like.
You called me and you went, you won't believe what this lady said.
You won't believe what she just did to me. I will not stand for this. She sent me to the kids section. I'm in the Nordstrom kids section, and I'm the only one. I'm the only adult there. I mean, there's no one in the Nordstrom. Who shops at Nordstrom Kids? I'm in the Nordstrom Kids section looking at the belts. They've got the most embarrassing looking belts. I spend 3 minutes there and I just walk out. I can't do it. I know I'm a 28 waist. I know this is where you guys have the 28 waist. I'm not doing that. I won't stoop to the
level.
I will wear women's belts before I wear kids' belts.
Yeah.
That's the kids' belt thing, that brings great shame to me.
Of course.
Like, that's like a seppuku type thing. Like,
yeah.
I would rather do seppuku at the Nordstrom cashier, like, checkout line. I'm holding up the line. I'm bleeding out in front of the Nordstrom cashier.
Of course.
She doesn't even care. She's on her phone.
No.
I would rather do that than ever pick up something from the kids' section in broad daylight. Like, maybe I would order it online.
Okay.
I could see myself ordering it online.
Okay.
I would never in-store shopping. I would never, never go and, you know, pick up a size 28 in a kid section. Never. You've got to be crazy. I want to know what happened to this country. I am so sure in the 1920s, everyone was wearing 28 to 30 waist. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. McDonald's. Wendy's. Burger King, Subway, Jared Fogel, Super Size Me, MSG, preservatives, saturated fats.
Have you heard, though, about the opposite problems going on right now with women's sizing? Because women's sizing is adjusting due to, like, vanity sizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a size 2 now is not what a size 2 was 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and measurements are constantly changing. So no one actually knows what size they are anymore.
What's vanity sizing?
They decrease the number with, like, the larger measurements. So what was once a size 6 is now a size 2. What was once a size 8 is now a size 4.
What? Yeah.
It's a pain.
That's weird. I mean, I've seen the Depop thing. You know what I'm talking about, the
no.
Depop thing? You ever go on Depop, you look at women's clothing, And when they sell the women's clothing on Depop,
they cinch the waist.
They cinch the waist.
They do that, yeah.
They cinch the waist. They do an hourglass on the
boxy T-shirt.
Yeah, on like a
band.
It's like a size XL band tee, and they're cinching the waist to just make you feel like you're not fat when you buy it.
I will say, as someone who is like relatively
wears XL tees.
Is relatively short-legged, it's become a big problem for me because for some reason everything's also getting taller. And it's becoming such a huge issue.
And you just wear high waist.
I don't like high-waisted pants. I like a good mid-waist or low.
I think high-waisted is in. I think high-waisted is in right now. That's what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I was seeing that, you know, fashion commentators were saying, you know, we're done with low-rise. Low-rise is such a 21st century.
Well, I like a mid-rise.
The way they were framing it is like mid and low-rise are like the consequences of the Industrial Revolution, you know?
Yeah.
And they're saying like, we got to go back to high-rise. That was functional. It made sense.
I will say the only thing... They have to be very specific high-rise pants, though, because I cannot wear tight high-rise pants. They have to be the stretchy kind.
What were you talking about? Nicolas Maduro.
Yes.
Yep. So Nicolas Maduro captured. He is facing trial. And, you know, views. You know, there are a lot of different views on this topic.
Of course.
All right. I find it strange that we are going into countries and, you know, just ripping out the leader.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a time where we did that. Oh, I forgot when we did that. But I think it worked out really well, actually, when we regime changed and we were like, everything's going to be fine. You know, we're just going to wait until we find a suitable lead. That always goes well, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, Maduro's fighting his battle in court. He's got a good lawyer from what it seems. Actually, a very good lawyer from what it seems.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm wishing Nicolas Maduro the best of luck in court. There's a GoFundMe if anyone would like to donate.
There's a GoFundMe?
No.
Okay.
What would he need a GoFundMe for? He's a president.
I don't know. For legal pads for his lawyer.
Yeah, whatever. Who is even paying for his legal fees? I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole on that one, too. I doubt that lawyer is doing pro bono. He might be, actually.
Where's his family? Because they took his wife, too.
Yeah, they took him and his wife.
Where's his wife?
Oh, she's probably in jail, too.
Anyway, yeah. She's just not charged with anything?
I wonder what happens if, you know, Maduro... You know New York doesn't have capital punishment.
Yeah.
So if he gets a sentence and he carries it out, what happens to him after that? Do you think he'll get citizenship? Do you think we'll give Nicolas Maduro citizenship? We'll set him up... They drop him off in front of a Home Depot and they're like, this is your job now, Essa.
I can imagine him not having citizenship and he just leaves the jail right after getting released.
And then
ICE
agents descend on him like, you know, flies to a carcass.
And they just like deport him back to his literal home.
They can't, you know, they're like the monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
They just like they fly him away. Donald J. At Donald J. Trump on Instagram posting an AI image of Nicolas Maduro getting deported with tears in his eyes. And like, another one in the books. another win for the Donald J. Trump presidency.
No, imagine.
We brought this guy. We brought you in here. We can take you out.
Gosh.
I mean, it's Nicolas Maduro's fault. What are you doing in the Western Hemisphere? You should have known about the Don Roe Doctrine.
You should have known.
You should have known about Donald J. Trump's version of the Monroe Doctrine, which is actually, we're not only, so the Monroe Doctrine, 1823 or something like that, the view was any foreign intervention in the Western Hemisphere is hostility against the United States.
Yeah.
The Monroe Doctrine is something beautiful.
Which
because
is,
it's,
they don't have to do anything at all.
No, it's any sovereign nation in the Western Hemisphere is an enemy of the United States. Is we're doing from sea to shining sea, but like, you know, vertically now.
Vertically.
we're doing north to south, sea to shining sea. Any sovereign nation in the Western Hemisphere that exists is it's an insurrectionist.
Of course.
You know?
They're seeking
to sow chaos in the United Nations of America.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be great. Because, you know, we're making plays on Cuba. We're making plays on Greenland, too.
I'm interested to see how the Greenland thing works out.
I'm interested to see how the Cuba thing works out.
Well,
we have not had a lot of success with Cuba.
That's true.
Now is the time.
I don't think now is the time.
Now
for
is
that.
The time. Because you see what happened on the Maduro thing?
Yeah.
Is that we finally perfected the regime change schedule.
Yeah.
All right? So the first step is you get Tulsi Gabbard out of that room.
Uh-huh.
Tulsi Gabbard, despite being director of national intelligence, was excluded from the plans to oust Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the media wants to spin things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll go and they'll tell you, you go to Wall Street Journal, you go to Bloomberg, you go to Reuters, whatever. They're going to tell you that Tulsi Gabbard was excluded because she had views against intervention in Venezuela, previous views against intervention in Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they excluded her from the plans. I'm mm-hmm. telling you right now, this is the moral hazard secret, all
okay.
right? This is between you and me and the listeners.
Of
All
course.
Right. Tulsi Gabbard was excluded from the plans because she is a hack that has somehow been a member of a cult her whole life, knows it's wrong, and just hit it instead of leaving it. Ask Tulsi Gabbard what her cult founder's shoes taste like. And you could put her up into a lie detector. I will bet my life on this. You put Tulsi Gabbard up to a lie detector and ask her if she knows what her cult leader's shoes taste like, she will say yes or she will be lying.
Uh-huh.
Tulsi Gabbard, I'm on to you.
Yeah.
You fraud.
Uh-huh.
You fraud. Tulsi Gabbard, how many candles do you have of your cult's leader? God, what's the name of the cult again?
I forget.
Tulsi Gabbard. And it's something dumb, too. It's like a Scientology type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard, Science of Identity Foundation.
That just sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, broke off from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
wait. Hold on. Tulsi Gabbard, tell me what the shoes of Chris Butler, a.k.a. Siddhaswarupananda Paramahamsa taste like.
Wow.
Or Chris Butler. Tell us what the shoes of Siddhaswarupananda let me try this one more time. We gotta clip this.
No, you
okay?
got it. Lock in.
Let me try this one more time. Tulsi Gabbard, hand on the Bible, hand on the American flag, hand on Donald Trump's head, hand on Joe Biden's thigh. You, without lying, cannot say you don't know what the shoes of Siddhaswarupananda Paramhamsa or Chris Butler taste like. Don't taste like. What did I say?
Taste like. That was like. Really good. That was really good.
I'm sorry.
Good.
Why is Chris Butler
why
changing his name to this?
Why is only service yoga classes?
Wait, yeah, that's the only services I do. Which is not true. They're a pyramid scheme and a cult. You're double dumb for that, Tulsi Gabbard.
No,
that's why you were excluded from the coolest moment of your administration. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard has done nothing.
I'm crying.
She got put in the job. She got put in this job, and she wasn't allowed to do the one thing she's supposed to do. So what did she even do? What did she even do as a member? I haven't heard a single thing Tulsi Gabbard has done since she took position in the spring.
I've only heard people talk about the cult.
I've only heard Tulsi Gabbard in two scenarios: her being excluded from things, and her membership in the Science of Identity Foundation. God.
Oh my God.
Tulsi Gabbard, you are such a fool. Such a fool.
Oh God.
In 2015, Tulsi Gabbard acknowledged Butler as her guru in a video statement for an ISKCON anniversary event. Butler has likened her to a star pupil. What is ISKCON? International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Yeah, the thing I read earlier.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they have distanced themselves from that. So,
well,
they distanced themselves from that. So I don't
understand.
That's
not how cults start, though.
Yeah. What?
That's not how cults start.
Yeah, it is.
No, but break off from major religion? Come on. No.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know what? My heart goes out to all the Mormons and all the Amish and all the Mennonites. Mm-hmm. And what else is broken
There's
off?
There's Christian fundamentalism.
Yeah, if you are a Christian fundamentalist, if you are a Mormon, if you are an Amish, Mennonite, or a member of the Nation of Islam, I just want to say to you, you're not in a cult, all right? Mm-hmm. This is very normal what you were doing. Uh-huh. Everyone's religion should be like a wallpaper on their home screen where they can just make it wherever they want. They can make it whatever they want. They don't need to have any justification, you know? Like, there's no tradition to it. You just like, I want to change my religion. I want to change my wallpaper.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be a member of the Science of Identity Foundation. They have cool bracelets. They sell cool bracelets through their pyramid scheme.
It's bracelets?
Yeah, that's like their main product.
Is it like rock bracelets or something? Is it like...
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's got like a stone in it or something like that.
Oh.
Pyramid scheme. Yeah, so there is... Let's see. Okay, so... Yeah, they have... Science of Identity Foundation is not a pyramid scheme, but they have direct monetary and leadership ties to a pyramid scheme in several countries. And the pyramid scheme is called Q1. Q1, that's just what it's called. All right, Q1, pyramid scheme. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
QI. So, Chi, pyramid scheme.
Of course.
What's the full name of it? Oh, QNET. QNET, yes. Or the QI group or Chi group. I don't know if that's Chi or QI.
I don't know.
I assume if it's QNET and QuestNet. Oh, yeah, it's just QI group. But, yeah, it's an MLM/pyramid scheme. It's illegal in several countries. And Tulsi Gabbard, shout out. You know what? I will say it's beautiful to know that if you are dumb enough to remain a member of a cult your whole life and join a pyramid scheme, you can still make it to a presidential administration. You can still get a cabinet position.
I grew up going to pyramid scheme parties.
Really?
We knew a lot of people that had joined pyramid schemes.
Did any of them work for the Trump administration?
No.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I grew up going to pyramid scheme parties, and no one buys anything, and they make no money.
Well, It's like
and never... in order to throw the party, we all just got free dinner and then didn't buy anything and left.
Yeah, that's what I never get. It's like, it's the same thing for like real estate, realtors.
It doesn't make any sense.
Realtors throw like these conferences for themselves and they just sit around networking. You guys don't sell to each other. You guys don't actually work with each other. You guys just all have the same customer. Like, you guys are all fighting for the same customers. What are you doing throwing parties together? This doesn't do anything. You're just stroking your egos.
It makes no sense.
Whatever. You know what? We've got to take a break because we need to do a PSA before the time runs out. We almost ran out last time. And so we're going to do a PSA today. It's
going to
be an important PSA. We're going to talk about designated drivers or something.
Might you be buzzed when you suddenly love everything?
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
So at this time of the night, we wanna do something very special for you all right? And that special thing is actually, you know, just give me one second. Because I've recently learned that you can kind of work the, you can sort of work the phone here. So I want to see if we can get some comments on this, you know, this beautiful thing that's going on in Venezuela, or maybe something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's open hour.
Yeah, we can just talk. Let's just find somebody. Let's find somebody in my contacts to call up and ask for a comment on Venezuela. Let's see if you guys can hear that. There we go. Let me not say the phone number out loud.
Yeah, I was going to say,
don't say the number. Yeah, let me not say the number out loud. I wonder if that will be, if that will work. I wonder if you guys can hear.
Is it ringing?
The phone calling. I don't know. I don't hear anything.
I also don't hear anything.
I actually don't know if it's working right now.
Did you
make sure that these are on?
You switched all these things, right?
Hello? No, we don't. It seems that we're not. Can't be sure that neither headphone nor speaker options are on. Okay, they're not on. So if you answered, we can't hear you right now, but we're gonna get. Okay,
I don't think he answered.
Yeah, but I should be hearing the ringing in the headphones, so I don't
know. You should in theory, but I don't know if you will.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, we'll figure out how to call in on a different day, I guess.
Wait, do you need this head?
No. The headphones should not be on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have no clue.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Dang, you were so excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll do what we can. Phone fading like a regular input. Yeah.
No, this is riveting, Steven.
Yeah, it looks like we can't really figure out how to get anyone to call, but that's fine.
That's
okay. We'll get someone else's input on, you know, the news some other day.
Put someone on speaker.
I guess.
On the mic.
Huh?
So you could put someone on speaker on the mic.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, I can do that too.
You could do that.
I could do that too. Hold on. Well, let's try that
instead.
Hang
on, team.
Hang on, team.
We're working on it.
We're gonna get something to work. Can you guys hear the ringing?
What's up?
Yeah, Evan, you are live on air right now. Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. We just wanted to know if you had any comments on the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Have you heard about that? It happened.
Yeah, of course, I've heard about it.
Yeah.
Big story.
Yeah, pretty big.
I like how they put him in the Nike Tech. That was
they put him in a Nike Tech?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Did he deserve?
I think it's because they were taking him to New York City with Diddy.
do you think they're bunkies right now, or you think it's just?
I think so.
They wanted to get him acclimated.
Instagram.
Let me ask you this. If Maduro beats the case and he is freed, would you support him getting citizenship to the United States?
Yeah, of course I would.
He's already got the Nike Tech.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your comment, Evan. We'll send this right back. Have a good one.
All right, great. Have a good one.
Bye. All right, well, I hope people could have heard that. I don't know. The mic wasn't really going all that much. Oh, is this the...
There has been a how to use the phone paper besides the phone.
No, this is the same. This is the same thing. This is the same thing that I was using. They just gave me the PDF version of it.
Yeah, but it looks like this has been here forever.
Yeah, well, this one doesn't work either because this is the same thing.
Okay.
The same thing I was reading from.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, now that we've pounded the pavement looking for comment. I think we can move past Nicolas Maduro. Is there anything else we want to talk about? I think that's, you know, now that we've gotten comments, we've done our journalistic integrity for the year.
Of course. Have you seen the AI, the AI art of Maduro and Diddy?
No. Is it lewd?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well, quite. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
In that art, they are.
Brendan Carr, if you're listening, we would like you to look it up for yourself because we can't say it on air. You know that. We can't say what's going on in that picture on air. But you can look it up, Brendan Carr. Brendan Carr, we love you. Brendan Carr, we got a crush on you. Brendan Carr, chairman of the FCC, you know, Emma just wanted to know if you were single, if you would want to go on a date next week.
Next week?
With me, too. I'm there as well. Brendan, you have to pay as well. Yeah, Brendan. Brendan Carr, chairman of the FCC. If you want to talk, you need to pay for dinner. And you need to drive me home.
drive you home. What about me?
You're fine. You can just...
Steven, I can't drive.
We'll get you an Uber.
Oh, okay.
We'll put you on the back of a... We'll put you on the back of a DoorDash moped.
Okay.
I think, does DC have that for moped? No, I think that's international.
I don't know.
Internationally, you can get Uber, like, back of moped in some countries. But, like, rideshare. Not, I don't think
Uber
it's Uber.
Back.
It might be Lyft or something like that, but there are rideshares like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I want to get my Lyft on, like, a horse.
Brendan Carr, we got a crush on you.
Why are we flirting with Brendan Carr?
Because he's the chairman of the FCC and I don't want to get taken down.
I don't think he's listening.
He could be. He could very well be. Very well be listening.
Okay.
But yes, thank you to our dear listeners who call in and sometimes we call them.
No one's ever called in.
For their comment. You know, we can call someone else.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Let's call Sandra.
No! She's going to hate this.
No, no, no.
She picks up. She might not pick up. I think it'll be really funny if she doesn't pick up.
It'll be even funnier. No, she pick up. I got celebrity friends, okay? But they always
We're on like the fourth ring.
Almost. It's not even the fourth ring. You gotta learn how
She's
to count.
Not gonna pick up.
Hello? No!
What did I tell you?
Shit!
She's not picking up.
All right. Well, you know, we got...
We don't need to keep calling people.
We can't leave on a loss.
Wow. Did you really not prep any more materials for today?
No, I did.
You did?
It's not on the paper. But yeah, I did. In my mind.
Okay. And in your mind, was the material calling people?
No. But that, you know, that's always part of it. Who else can we call?
I don't know. It seems like you call mostly one person.
Okay. Well, don't worry about that. Hold on. Let's see. Who else can we call?
You could call Wilkes.
Oh, yeah, let's call Wilkes.
We'll see if he picks up.
Yeah.
You like this waiting in silence part?
No, this is the best part of it. Is that the dear listeners get to hear a ringtone that doesn't go anywhere.
Hello?
Hi, Wilkes, no! Wilkes, Wilkes, you are live on air right now, and we've got one question for you. Em and I have one question for you. All right, what are your thoughts on Nicolas Maduro wearing a Nike Tech when he was captured?
I think it's fire. I think it's an inspiration.
Do you think it's an inspiration, or do you think it was inspired? I feel like, you know, it wasn't really his choice. Look, I don't respect any celebrity that needs a stylist to dress, okay? I know he wasn't wearing that Nike Tech when they got him. He wasn't wearing that sleep mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think the military stylist put it on him?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was for the... Like, they were clip farming, you know? That's what I'm doing right now. I'm clip farming you, by the way.
I know. I'm clip farmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys... Okay, so, all right. We've got your opinion on Nicolas Maduro's Nike Tech.
Steven, all right, you can't
we got one last question.
Time with
Wilkes, sorry, I didn't prep an episode, Wilkes, but I have one last question.
Do I get $1 million if it's right?
Yeah, you know what? It's like a phone a friend thing.
Yeah.
Wilkes, you're on the air and you're phoning a friend, you've got one question, and if you get it right, your friend walks home with $1 million. Wilkes? Who is the director of national intelligence? See, no one knows who it is.
It's what's her face?
Oh.
Oh?
Oh?
It's not Nancy Mace, is it?
No, no. Who is that?
Who am I thinking of? That's the lady with the botched stuff.
The botched stuff?
Nancy Mace. No, that's a U.S. representative.
Yeah. That's a different lady.
No, Wilkes, the correct answer we were looking for was Tulsi Gabbard, but it's okay.
That's who I'm thinking
because
of.
She doesn't do her job, so it's fine. Like, she's an absentee. But you know what, Wilkes?
Anyways.
Thanks for calling in.
You can't.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What is... Okay. That was a productive segment.
Yep, and now that we've done double due diligence, I don't have to do any news for the rest of the year and the next year.
Whoa!
To be fair, it's only two news cycles I get of grace period for doing this. This
really?
Was like real journalistic integrity this week.
Really?
We called in, we pounded the pavement, we asked real Americans their real thoughts on Tulsi Gabbard and Nicolas Maduro.
Of course. And they gave such thoughtful thoughts.
I've got one last thoughtful thought for you guys.
Really?
How many of you are homeowners? Call in if you're a homeowner. Just kidding, don't. I don't know how to work the phone, as we know. Donald Trump, it's not even, I won't blame Donald Trump for this. It's a bipartisan effort. Bipartisanly, Republicans and Democrats are getting behind a measure to limit the amount of investment institutional investors can put in into single-family homes, to prevent institutional investors from buying single-family homes. Everyone thinks this is a good thing. The general public goes, yay, this is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Republicans are behind it. Donald Trump was the first.
Yeah.
Was the first to put this out there as a member of our, you know, that as a member of the American politic body.
Yeah.
He was the first to put this out there. It has been co-opted by Gavin Newsom, who came out like the next day, said, you know, California, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to limit the amount. We're going to limit private equity's ability to buy single family houses.
Uh-huh.
Everyone thinks this is a good idea. Everyone's getting behind it.
But
this
Steven,
is this doesn't make any look. But Steven,
how many of them actually have single family homes?
Contrarian as always, Steven Funk of Moral Hazard needs to say that the thing that everybody else likes is actually bad.
Yeah.
All right? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, I have good reason for this, okay? And here's a very simple fact. While Blackstone and other private equity shops may be purchasing single-family homes, may be funneling money into companies that purchase single-family homes, do you know how many single-family homes are owned by institutional investors?
Can't be that many.
3% of single-family homes are owned by institutions.
Oh, that's it?
The American media and the American, cultural discourse has drummed up this idea that private equity is making your home prices more expensive by literally buying out the single family homes from under you. That is just not the case. Institutional investors do not at scale buy single family homes. But that's directly what these proposed measures are going to do, is going to limit institutional investors' ability to purchase those single family homes. Do you know the real reason that single-family homes are expensive in the United States? It's not that Blackstone is going in and they're buying up all the houses. Single-family homes don't scale.
Mm-hmm.
For every single-family home, you have minimum of four walls.
Yeah.
But they all have individual HVAC systems, individual plumbing systems, individual roofs. They have each one has a roofing system. They're all so, you know, they're all so unique and they're all so distinct that it doesn't scale for a large company to buy up single family homes, at that amount to take over the market. That's why they're only 3%, because it doesn't work. It's not a viable business model. But I'm not saying that single family homes are not expensive because of private equity. That's not what I'm saying. Private equity and real estate private equity makes a lot of money off of multifamily. Mm-hmm. That is the bread and butter of real estate private equity.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. When you put a lot of money into multifamily and you're building up these huge multifamily units,
mm-hmm.
you are taking, while you are increasing the amount of available supply of homes or of dwelling spaces, you are also demanding a large share of the supplies required to build homes.
Mm-hmm.
You're demanding the capital required to build homes.
Yeah.
They are pulling by, you know, as inherent to their existence, real estate private equity drives up home prices by not only demanding the land that, you know, homes are built on
mm-hmm.
and using that for multifamily, but also the materials, the labor, and everything else that comes with it. The financing.
Yeah.
They are pulling the financing. The money has to go to someone. And if you are giving it all to these multifamily private equity firms, then you're not giving it to people who are going to build single family homes
mm-hmm.
and people who are going to, you know, repair them. That's why home building costs increase like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why home building costs are so high. You know how much it costs to buy? If the issue was that private equity was just buying all the single family homes, what we would see was that home building prices are actually really low. And, you know, the money making magic would just be go and just buy some land and build some houses.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that. Home building costs are so high. And then the companies that build those homes need to charge high amounts to compensate for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the issue. All right. And, you know, I think it is right. Oh, we're running out of time. Yeah. It is right to try and curb private equity's involvement in the housing market. It is right to try and make housing.